In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst. Today we have presented to us a commemoration of the new martyrs of Russia who were martyred during the Russian Revolution and beyond. And many of these people, we know St. Elizabeth was thrown into a well and a grenade was thrown upon her. We know St. Tikhon the Patriarch was brutally killed, and of course there were just many, many others within this revolution. And we can think about it, if this was to happen to us in the U.S., how we might approach it. Of course, you know, when you're attacked or when things aren't going well, people tend to pray more fervently. After 9/11, people seem to be a little bit more attuned to prayer and asking for God's help and turning to Him, at least for a month after anyways. And then, you know, it is. But if you can imagine a persecution like this, that with relatives and the very core of your identity as a Russian Orthodox Christian, or the Orthodoxy was very tied to the identity. If you can imagine what an upheaval this ultimately was. And you can imagine the fervency of many of their prayers. And then you can imagine how many of them experienced, or maybe they didn't experience it, or maybe felt as though God was silent, as though God didn't answer their prayers because people died and they continued to die, and then the communism ended up taking over and even became more brutal at times, all the way until the fall of communism in 1990. So it wasn't a story of, like many of the stories we hear in the lives of the saints, where people walked out and processed with a banner and everything ended because God came in and destroyed the enemies and overcame the hostile powers. Instead, people fervently prayed and dedicated their lives, and like the martyrs of the early church, died. Sometimes without the hope or the answer that they were looking for as far as the country's concerned, but of course, always putting their hope in the kingdom of heaven rather than earthly politics anyways. In today's gospel, we have a similar story of the silence of God, where a woman who has a demon-possessed child, a daughter who is vexed with unclean spirits, and the mother is torn apart on the inside, and she goes to Jesus to deliver her daughter. And as she's praying to Him, it says the first thing He did is he didn't do anything. He just ignored her. He didn't reply. There's a lot of, in the spiritual life, this is something to contemplate in our own lives and just in our expectations in the Christian faith or in how we practice our faith in general. You know, as Americans, and possibly, or maybe it's just modern psychology or whatever it is, we have the disposition to think that whenever Jesus heard of anybody in pain, He just ran to them. He just had to help them. He had the power. He could do it. And so the minute at the drop of the shoe, Jesus ran to somebody and saved them. Whether it was saving them from their sins or saving them from demon possession or saving them from whatever circumstance, we would almost have an accusation against Jesus if He wasn't to help and to save in some sort of immediately responsive way. Now, in the early church, they didn't think this way. I don't know that they thought this way in Russia either. But as modern people, we have a very low pain tolerance. And we also have very low boundaries. You know, if something, many people believe that they take responsibility for everything and they have to save the world. And if Jesus has the power to do this, then it's absolutely wrong for Him to make her beg or ask more than once. The gospel gives us a different message today because it says that Jesus remained silent. And you have a choice at this point. Many people might just say, "What a jerk. I'm done with this God. I cried out with my heart. You see the severity of my situation. You are messing with me. You remain silent. I'm done with you." That's certainly one response. The other response would be possibly to assume that God is just aloof. He really doesn't care about us. We need to honor him, but, you know, I don't cry out so much because when I'm in pain, when I have cried out, God doesn't answer me anyways. Why bother? He doesn't involve himself with me. The response of the woman in today's gospel instead is that she pesters the apostles, first of all. She is really annoying. Then she then pesters Jesus again. And then in this pestering of Jesus is insulted. And then finally, as she shows her faith, receives the answer, the healing of her daughter that she so desired. But she manifests a tenacity. Jesus commends her for her faith because, and her faith is expressed in the fact that she doesn't walk away, that she continues pressing on, that she continues asking, that she continues seeking, even in the midst of the possible silence of Jesus and ultimately the silence of God. And ultimately, we hear the story about her perseverance. So if God would have, Jesus is God, but if Jesus would have immediately fixed her problem, healed her daughter, just like that, well, that would have made a nice story too, but what wouldn't we have seen about this woman? What would we have assumed about Jesus? Well, we would assume that every time we had a problem, Jesus is supposed to run and fix it immediately. If this Jesus wasn't silent, and if God wasn't silent for us sometimes in our prayers, we wouldn't have the ability to show our tenacity or to show that we actually believe that he's not the aloof God. We wouldn't have the chance to express humility, to actually show that we are willing to submit ourselves under the hand of God, whether he heals us or not, whether he does what we tell him to or not. That's the ultimate expression of faith. To keep coming, to keep turning, to keep inviting Christ into our lives and into our situations, regardless of whether we think he responds the way that we think he should respond. So, I assume in the Russian Revolution, many people lost faith as many people were killed. Many people had an opportunity to express their faith by dying like Christians. And there is something wonderful about the lives of the martyrs and those who chose to die like Christians, because they didn't have to die. Many of them. They could simply do what many people did and leave the faith. But they thought that everything in their life was worth losing so that they wouldn't lose Jesus Christ in the faith. This is what we hope that Christians believe and that we raise our children's. We raise our children to die as martyrs, to choose Christ first over everything else, and to endure and to bear the pain of life, not thinking that God is all about instant deliverance and comforting us and making everything perfect and great, but that God is the one that in all circumstances we can turn to, and even though we die, we may live in him. So, through the inspiration of the woman in today's gospel with her tenacity, faith, and her pursuit of Christ, May we be blessed to pursue the Christian life. May our country never turn into what happened within the Russian Revolution. May we be prayerful and responsible enough to pray for our country and to also move ourselves away from our tendencies of authoritarianism and all the various things that led to such a revolution. And ultimately, may Christ be at the center of our lives so that we choose Him, regardless of whether we're threatened with death or not. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst.
He is.